Welcome to the Betrothal Guys podcast. I'm Joshua, here with my wife Leela, and we talk about betrothal and biblical betrothal, what that means, how to practice it today, what the Bible has to say about it, and how it applies to the spiritual marriage of Christ and the church. And today, we're actually doing a little bit more testimony style. We're going to talk about what we did while we were betrothed.
While we were single, we had certain mental, physical, and emotional boundaries that we would maintain with someone of the opposite sex. And when we were interested in someone, because we were doing a betrothal approach, which is, you know, just a label for what we're saying is like the biblical way to do things, at least in our opinion. I know people will disagree and say we're just making this stuff up. But as we can see it, when 1 Timothy, is it 5?
5:2.
5:2. We kind of take that as a principle of expanded to the way you treat your brother and your fellow man. Even if you might be interested in marrying them, that if they're not your spouse, you have to treat them as a sister or a brother. So when we were considering marrying someone, we didn't really change those boundaries that we had. And if you're interested in what those boundaries were, you can listen to our episode called Our Boundaries, I think. But there's an episode that you can listen to that will help you understand where we were coming from. But to cover that briefly, we made sure that we kept the same kind of boundaries with a woman we might be interested in, or in Joshua's case, or a man I'm interested in. We had the same boundaries as we would have had with a man that's already married. So yeah. We wouldn't be alone with that person, you know, barring an emergency. We would not be messaging them without including another person into the chat. We wouldn't be, going places with them alone. Just basically having safeguards and precautions to make sure that it was obvious there wasn't anything romantic going on. Which we didn't have anything romantic going on in our hearts, as we covered too. We at least were trying to not go romantic places in our heart and mind. And so we also were making sure our outward appearance was also showing that we weren't going those places.
Right. We didn't want to go those places in our heart because, you know, we believe that the mental, emotional, romantic aspect of marriage is a part of marriage, not something that is okay outside of marriage. And so we wanted even that heart level emotions, the heart level thoughts and desires to be in line with, if this isn't my wife, then I don't have those towards her. Mm-hmm. And so to have our outward behavior reflect the heart was the goal with those things. Not that this is some sort of legalistic, okay, so I'm going to do this, you know, to hide what's going on in my heart. No, it's not some sort of hypocritical thing. It needs to stem from the heart.
Yeah, so we went a lot more into detail about that, those boundaries and stuff in our previous episode.
Yeah.
In this one, we're going to talk about what we did, how those things changed once we got betrothed. And when you are betrothed, you are husband and wife lawfully, at least according to the Bible. So, and we think that a reason for the people doing their marriages the way they did in the Bible was because it does have a sort of a transition. Everybody realizes that. You can't just go from barely, you know, you've said hi, and now you're a husband and wife. You can do that, but it's a little awkward to just jump right into it. And I think that the spending time as a betrothed couple is helpful for that, because it takes a little bit of adjustment.
Yeah, the Bible shows that even in one case, it actually specifies a month for a betrothal, for time to prepare. And that makes sense, that there's a time of growing closer together, a time of preparation between we are husband and wife, so we can start treating each other as husband and wife, thinking of each other as husband and wife. Mm-hmm. We can move forward, but also we're not ready to move in together, to live together, to fully consummate physically, mm-hmm. and all those various things that go with that moving into the same household and living in that same household together.
It was interesting that since we got to experience basically what people were doing in the Bible times of being very strictly non-romantic.
Yes.
Acquaintances with men and women, and in distant friends. I had some men that I was pretty close friends with, but I did keep them in the outer circle of friendship. They weren't in my inner circle of friends.
Right.
They weren't as close as I would let some women get and my actual relatives get relationally. But since we were doing that, which I think the people in the Bible probably were doing, it's not real clear how their society worked in different stages of the Bible, but the way people date, I don't think the Bible cultures would have been okay with.
It doesn't seem like that. Human temptations haven't changed, so I'm sure that there were plenty of people that were out of line with what was understood to be the right way. But yeah.
But anyway, if we were going from not being real close and definitely not romantic. So we got to experience the growing in romance part during our betrothal, because we waited till after we committed to change anything.
Right, and that was the goal. And to a great degree, we were able to do that. And so it was after I had talked to your dad, and he had talked to you, and we had all together said, yes, this is God's will. That was what the decision was based on. It wasn't based on, you know, human reasoning or liking someone or whatever. It was based on, what is God's will? When Leela said yes, I took her aside, public place but private conversation, and said, I'm fully committed 100% to you. And she said the same back to me. And so we were saying, okay, so now we are ready. We are here. We are committed, ready to build on this. At that point, there is no real romance towards each other.
Because there wasn't before.
Right, it wasn't in our heart.
It's not like you can just flip a switch, although it's almost like that. But
it was closer to flipping a switch than I expected it to be. Yeah. But yeah. So at that point, we're going, okay. And it was actually, I think it was, we took some time to put together a betrothal ceremony, almost 2 weeks or something. And then we actually had a public ceremony where we got legally married, had witnesses, made a specific wedding covenant and ketubah.
You gave the bride price.
And gave the bride ceremony. Price and all the various things that go with a betrothal.
Ceremonial aspects.
The ceremonial aspects we actually did to celebrate this in a specific way, so people could, you know, have something to point to and say, yes, that is a betrothal. In some ways, we actually recommend getting to that more quickly. Just practically, it was going to be difficult for us to do that, to get from that we're ready to make this covenant to the actual speaking of the vows.
We were out camping.
We were headed right out camping, and my family wasn't there, and they were going to be there in a week or two. And so it just made more sense. Maybe that's a slight regret that we have, is that we could have gotten to that faster somehow. But
yeah.
But with our commitment being our commitment, our word being our word, and saying, yes, I'm committed to you, you're committed to me, we felt like we were betrothed at that point. Mm-hmm. Even if we hadn't had a ceremony, but we felt like we were betrothed at that point.
Even if other people may not have agreed. Like, you know, someone could have opposed us if we had not done it publicly.
Right.
You run the risk of someone opposing it and saying it's not real.
Sure, there could have been things. There weren't in our case, so it worked out fine. But but that's why we would maybe recommend a little bit more timely fashion. But again, we felt like we were betrothed from that point. And so that's the point at which we said, okay, now I release my heart to be romantic towards Leela. I release my thoughts to dwell on Leela as my wife, as my bride. And at that point, I did not release any of my physical boundaries, which my physical boundaries, which I talked about in the other episode, were really pretty much no touch. And so I did not touch Leela intentionally. I think there was maybe an accidental handing something to each other. There was a very slight touch. But again, purposefully not touching, no intentional touch for sure. The goal of that while I was single is because touch does build emotional and mental romantic connections. Mm-hmm. It's kind of designed to do that.
And while you're single, that's a problem because you don't want to be building any kind of connection to someone that's not your spouse.
And so at first, when we're in that state, it was kind of like a habit. We're not touching each other. I don't know if we actually just talked about we shouldn't touch each other. We didn't necessarily think of betrothal. We hadn't studied it nearly as much as we have now. We hadn't really thought through some of the things. So it wasn't until, I guess about a week later, my parents said, okay, so when you have this betrothal ceremony, you should start holding hands and being physically touching Leela by holding hands. That's where they felt like they should set the limit, was holding hands during the betrothal, which was I was kind of surprised because I was not really thinking in those terms. I was still thinking in the I'm single terms, but once they said it, I was like, okay, I guess that does make sense. We are husband and wife. We do want to move forward in our intimacy, not have, you know, not leave everything till the wedding and then have it be a...
not all at once.
Yeah, and all at once. I mean, all at once it can be exciting, but it can also be pretty awkward and it could be, you know, difficult, especially if you're going to do it all at once. You know, the hugging and the holding hands and the kissing all at the wedding ceremony in front of people. It'd be pretty rough. But anyway, so once my parents suggested that, oh, well, that I guess that makes sense. So I talked to Leela about it. Mm-hmm. Said, don't you think we should hold hands while we're betrothed?
And yeah, and like you said, we didn't fully understand what betrothal was, really, because I was going, well, my parents wouldn't allow it. Which is kind of funny, because now that we realize, looking back and after studying it further, we realize a husband and wife, a betrothed husband and wife,
yeah,
the daughter doesn't have to answer to her parents and what they think she should be doing. Right.
Now, at the time, we were at your parents' house.
That's true.
And so we would have been subject to whatever guidelines they made in their house.
That's true.
But yeah, as husband and wife, the decision of how much physical contact we were going to have would actually reside with us. Now, to not talk to mentors would just be foolish.
Yeah.
So we did, you know, my parents were the first ones to suggest it. I told Leela, she asked her parents or my parents talked to her parents or something, and they were on board. And they said, yeah, that makes sense to have.
Yeah, my parents agreed with it.
Yeah, that would be a good step in the right direction.
So both sets of parents were advising us to go ahead and hold hands.
To hold hands and really not anything else, I think. Yeah, and so that was what we did. We chose as our physical boundary during our betrothal. And there could be reasons for going for more. Mm-hmm. And there could be reasons for not going that far, depending. It can be very individual, mm-hmm, on how much physical contact is needed by the betrothed couple as they work towards getting to marriage.
Mm-hmm. It would be similar to a married couple, a fully married couple, trying to decide what should we do when we've decided we're not going to be intimate during this month. We're fasting or whatever. Let's say they're choosing to fast.
Yeah.
What are we going to do then? How much will we allow? And it's pretty much a similar situation when you're betrothed, because we're fasting or we're still abstaining, yeah, still from physical until later. So what are we going to allow, though, that will not make it too hard on us to continue to abstain?
Right. And also, because during the betrothal, you also do want to build that romance, especially coming from where we were. With very little emotional, yeah, attachment. It was a good thing. I lived in Colorado. She lived in Tennessee. So I had to go back to where my job was and during our betrothal time frame. And so at the point that I was leaving, after we'd had our ceremony and I'd been there a few days after that, I asked my parents, I think that before I leave, I want to bless her and I would like to put my hand on her head to bless her, because I think that's a biblical concept. And so I made sure my parents said, yes, that would be appropriate. It kind of surprised her. I don't think I quite told her quite what I meant to do right at the moment.
You said you wanted to put your hands on my head, and I didn't know why.
Oh, because I didn't explain it well. So, but okay. Then I did that. I blessed her, and that was the extent of that touching. And we held hands pretty regularly when we were together. Mm-hmm. We also had some situations, some public settings, where so as not to cause other people to be uncomfortable, we abstained from the hand-holding. But for the most part, if we were together and could, we would hold hands during the betrothal.
Yeah, we knew another couple who had gotten betrothed, and they weren't allowed to hold hands. So I remember specifically when we were near them, we didn't.
Right, we didn't want to.
Because we didn't want to make them feel jealous or whatever.
Right, and I think they had gotten that from their mentors. And mm-hmm, yeah, we just didn't want to pushing them in a way, you know, basically the same principle of you're not going to drink alcohol in front of an alcoholic, someone who's struggling with alcoholism, because it's just not kind.
Or that you're not going to eat in front of somebody that you know is fasting.
Sure. Yeah.
I should probably clarify that the betrothal is not so much that we can't touch each other. It's just that when you consummate, you are married.
Yeah.
And there's a slight difference between a betrothed husband and wife and a married, and it's slight, I say, but it's really big, too, because marry means merging, and that's when you're physically one. You're
physically one flesh, yes.
So the point of the betrothal period is to not be physically one, to just be lawfully one.
Yes.
While you get ready for the physical union, which is a big deal, so it does need some preparation, especially when you're going from zero like we were, basically.
Right. And so that was the physical boundary zone that we went with at the wedding. When I came to get her, when we had a wedding celebration and a reception, a wedding feast. When I came to get her, when we met, you know, there at the altar, so to speak, I hugged her And we had talked about this and debated whether or not we were going to kiss in front of everyone because it would be our first kiss. The first man-woman kiss that either of us had had. And we're going, I don't know if we really want to try that in front of everybody. We decided that, okay, I guess for the sake of our relatives who are maybe might be a little worried that this is some sort of arranged marriage and we don't like each other, we'll give it our best shot. It was like a half a second kiss that we pulled off and pulled away. And like the hug is nice, but yeah.
The kissing was much
for our where we were. And again, some couples are totally ready to go for it. And, you know, others aren't. I think that making sure that you, especially as the husband, making sure that you're dwelling with your wife in an understanding way and making sure that she is on board and comfortable. And yes, you know, sometimes you need to be moving in a direction if it's taking a long time to get to where you need to go to get closer to that point. But there needs to be that consideration and that joint, we're a team on this. Let's figure out what will make both of us as comfortable as we can compromise to the middle, wherever that would be, you know, if there's a difference.
Mm-hmm. I was worried that if we didn't kiss that people would be, like you said, worried about us. And I just thought it would be expected. So I did push myself to kiss before I probably was really ready, especially in public.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't have been worried because watching the video afterward, I realized our hug was so obviously happy that I don't think anybody would have been worried if we didn't kiss.
I think we definitely gave off the obvious that we had, that we did have romantic attachment to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to the second level is, so we changed a little bit on our physical boundary toward each other while we were betrothed. We went from not touching at all to holding hands during that period. And then on the emotional and mental aspect, though, it was like completely changing it over.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from, I'm not going to dwell on this. I'm not going to think about it. Even though I'd been praying about Leela for a year, I had not allowed my mind to the best of my ability, not allowed my mind to think about, okay, what will this be like? You know, what
get
is this?
Get excited about it.
Think about it. Dwell on it. Even while I know that she and her parents are considering the covenant that I'd said, I believe this is God's will. I offer a covenant. While I was waiting for the answer to that, again, still in the guarded state. And so then after the answer is yes, after I say I commit to you 100%, you know, feel like we're betrothed, then I let that wall down. It wasn't like, you know, 1 minute later I was in love. But the rapidness, it was definitely only within a couple days I would have said that I was definitely, you know, somewhere between hard crushing and in love, within a couple days of letting that wall down and saying, this woman is allowed into this romantic area of my heart.
Mm-hmm. And part of our heart, we really didn't know existed because we hadn't had a boyfriend or girlfriend or someone we were interested in before that we allowed ourselves to get interested in.
Yeah. My best expectation from singlehood was that this will be like a, you know, I had some blood sisters. I said, this will be like my closest relationship, you know, at the closest time that I've had with a sister. And that'll be good. Yeah, that's what I was expecting. I did not know how much deeper the marriage relationship and that romantic relationship can go than a brother and sister.
Some personalities probably wouldn't have been able to be quite so, keep so controlled of their thoughts while they're praying about marrying someone.
I mean, I'm not saying that it wasn't a struggle.
It was work.
That it didn't take some effort. And it might be true that my personality is more inclined to be able to handle it, that it would be less of a temptation for me than for others, just like I'm tempted in other ways more than other people are. That could be true. But yeah, I mean, like I said, for the most part, I was able to say, this is not allowed here in this, in these thoughts. Push it away. Put something else in, pray, worship, something that can say, can replace that.
So we spent how many months betrothed? About three?
We spent 3 months during our betrothal period, yeah.
So we went from being distant friends or acquaintances to we got betrothed. And then I was like you, I had to adjust my brain and go, okay, wow, so he's my husband. I'm allowed to get excited about marrying him. I mean, first I just was worried about, am I ever even going to like and love him? Because I felt very neutral about him.
Yeah.
Because we made our decision to marry based off of what we thought God wanted, it wasn't about how much I liked him.
Right. I knew that I would be able to agape love through Yeshua. I would be able to agape love and show love, you know, by doing the actions of love. But yeah, I didn't know about the romantic love.
In some ways, I thought maybe I was incapable of being in love. Because, you know, I watch TV shows and stuff, and they're all, you know, falling in love right and left. So I go, okay, maybe I'm just a personality that's incapable of falling in love, because that's never happened to me. But maybe I was underestimating what the difference is when you don't go around basically allowing yourself to or wanting to. I didn't want to fall in love with a man that wasn't my husband. And so maybe, and also the boundaries I put in place, maybe they were that effective.
Well, dwelling on something can help it go forward.
Yeah.
And so what did we do in order to purposely build that romantic and emotional connection? Coming from zero to where everyone could tell when we got to each other at the wedding ceremony that these two, they're into each other.
Only a week into our betrothal, your mommy and my mommy thought it was hilarious that we could just sit at the picnic table all day long and stare at each other. So,
yeah.
We got crushing hard pretty fast.
Yeah.
I remember I was concerned about it at first, about would this even happen? Could I actually love you? Like a wife should love her husband. Mm-hmm. Will it ever be romantic? I wasn't like anxious about it because I did trust that if God wanted this to happen, which I knew he did, that he would make it work out somehow.
Yeah.
But I remember I set out to write a list of all the good things about you. I thought this might help me to fall in love with him, maybe. So I started writing out a list of all the good positive attributes I could think of about Joshua. And I only wrote down a couple of things before I went, okay, actually, I do feel kind of warm about him already.
Yeah.
I mean, just having your own specific person that you know is committed to you is huge, no matter who they are. It's a really special thing.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, he's decided to be my husband. It's just a tremendous compliment, or I mean, it's not really a compliment to my abilities or anything. I knew he didn't really know me well enough to know what he was committing to, but in some ways that made him lovable, that you'd have enough character to commit to something you didn't know what it was.
And I kind of did a similar thing with, I wanted to make sure that I spoke words of affirmation to you so that you would know that I did appreciate you. And I actually kind of made myself a cheat sheet of, because, you know, when I'm looking at you in that in love state and suddenly all my thoughts go away, I wanted to have a cheat sheet. And so I actually wrote down some things like, I like this about Leela. I can tell her I like this about her. I also did the same thing about the same time you were doing that. And I think that was helpful to focus on the other person's, the positive things that you know. Well, even if those positive things are not very many yet, because we didn't know each other all that well, there were plenty of things that could now go on that list that I just didn't know about at the time. And so to focus on the positive was one aspect of building that emotional connection. And when you do that, I think it's going to come quickly. It's going to go that way.
Mm-hmm. It was happening fast, but it was also very awkward because we were new to it.
Yes.
It felt very strangely awkward. Like we would go, you couldn't talk all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, sure. I can't look him in the eyes. It's just too overwhelming that I'm gazing into my husband's eyes.
Plenty of awkward pauses in conversation. It's like, I really want to go over there, but this is so awkward to walk over to where she is again, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm following her around, but that's what we're doing.
Well, yeah, we were.
Because we had a massive crush on each other.
But again, because we've made this covenant, that crushing and that getting that relationship built is a good thing. I feel like it's designed to be that way.
Yeah. So it wasn't a negative kind of awkward. It just was kind of funny, especially looking back on it.
Looking back on it, it's a funny awkward. At the time, it was, you know, awkward is awkward, okay?
Yeah. Like, I wish it wasn't quite so awkward to try to talk to you. Yes.
And so then I had to leave. And when you can't be in person, we found the next best way for us was to, was in the evening specifically, to have a time that we would chat with each other. We used a messenger app to send text messages to each other rather than talk on the phone. I know a lot of couples like to talk on the phone. Somehow that just wasn't us. So we had this messenger app where we could send like little emotion icons but lots and lots of messages.
Do all the corny stuff. Lots of heart emojis.
Yes, all the fun stuff.
That we'd never done before. It was all new. Which is kind of funny, comparing it to the average American's experience. You know, I was 26
Yeah.
And you were 27, and we never sent a heart emoji to a boyfriend or girlfriend or a man or woman we were interested in.
And so that was how we set out purposefully to do that. And you know, every night that we could possibly pull it off, we would spend, I think we would go for 2 hours.
And yet it felt like a minute.
It was always over before we wanted it to be over.
But you say, like, we have to go to bed,
have to go to bed. Your time is up. Because she needed to go to bed for her get up early schedule. I needed to go to bed so I could work. But yeah, so we set ourselves a schedule and we stuck to it. We spent that time purposefully with each other, communicating, learning about each other. Just even sometimes just being silly together to build those connections, those memories, those
togetherness.
Yeah, just the togetherness, being a team. We did some things, not nearly as much as our family was probably thinking we should, but every now and then we would actually do something productive together, like work on wedding registries or something like that.
Yeah, they would check in on us the next morning and go, so did you finish picking out your invitations or whatever? And we go, no, were busy talking about our favorite TV shows.
I don't know what we were talking about, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so we built that relationship purposefully doing the thing that before that we would not, during our boundaries as singles, we would not have done, because we knew that it could build those nice romantic connections.
Mm-hmm. If you allow it.
Right.
Like we said in the other episode, we might have been a little bit too careful, but I don't regret being too careful. But no. Rather, the opposite of being too, you know, clumsy or too...
Well, I'm obviously not going to message some other woman now, married, with those types of, let's spend 2 hours together on Messenger. That just wouldn't be appropriate. It belongs in marriage. In marriage, it's wonderful. It doesn't belong outside of marriage.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't regret, really, I don't regret that line that I had as a single.
Oh, we talked a lot about the Bible. That was, I guess, some of the important things we do while we're betrothed. Obviously, all the goofy, fun stuff is, I think, an important part of marriage. I'm sure you agree. It helped us feel connected and ready for the next step of getting our whole life merged. So we're getting ready for that. We had to do some practical stuff. Like, you had to fix up the little cabin we were going to live in. And it was a little, it was like a...
And it didn't need much fixing, but yeah.
It was a guest house kind of thing.
Right.
Not an actual cabin. We didn't live in a log cabin.
No.
I've told people before that you were fixing up a cabin for us to live in. They were like, oh, chop down trees and, you know.
No, we
weren't like that.
Not like that.
We were a little more...
And since my job at the time was fully remote, I actually didn't even own a vehicle at the time. So, yeah, had to work on getting us a vehicle.
Yeah, so you were doing practical stuff like that. I was being a little less practical and getting all the wedding clothes perfect, but that was important to me. I wanted to make my own wedding dress, and I wanted all the bridesmaids to be wearing special dresses, so I made all those. I was a historical costumer before we got married, so that was my thing with sewing. I also did practical preparations, like getting rid of old stuff and buying any new things I thought I would need for my wardrobe and stuff, because I was going to move to a much colder state, so I did some of that prep. I did fast because of what the Bible says about when Yeshua is telling his disciples about when the bridegroom is with you. He tells the Pharisees, I think, the people don't fast when the bridegroom's with them. After the bridegroom's taken away from them, then they will fast.
Right. So once I left Leela, she assigned herself a fast.
I did not fast completely because it was months, but I fasted from chocolate, which was,
it's a big deal.
Shush. It was, an important food to me. Yeah. So I decided to do that. I did some, because the book of Esther, she does this beautifying, purifying treatments before she gets married. I thought I should do something along those lines. So I had this little book about how to do all natural skincare and stuff. So I did some of its recipes to, make my skin beautiful and whiten my teeth naturally. I'm not into using chemicals and stuff, so.
And I did other things like, try to stock food in our house that we're going to live in. Obviously, without knowing what things she liked and disliked, I didn't make all the right choices, but.
We were too busy talking about meaningless things.
We were talking about, but again, amongst the meaningless things, we did talk a lot about scripture. Mm-hmm. We actually started reading through the Bible. We would read the chapter separately and we would discuss it each evening. And so part of that, I think part of the bonding was through sharing not just our physical lives, but also our spiritual lives with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that also can make a rapid bonding. It's one of the most intimate things you have is your relationship with your Heavenly Father and sharing that with each other in such a close way. Really closer than I'd shared it with anyone else. I mean, I shared quite a lot with my parents and siblings, but with Leela, I started sharing even a little bit deeper.
We made a conscious choice to share as much as possible because we did have to tell ourselves, okay, keep sharing, share more yeah. than you would with anyone else, because I knew that the more we communicated and the more open we were, the better.
Right.
So even though I had a lot of walls, you know, I would say the healthy kind of walls, I didn't have like trauma kind of walls up,
yeah.
but I had walls up to protect myself from, you know, strangers. I wouldn't share this stuff with just anyone. But even though he was a distant friend when we started, I would tell myself, but go ahead and share that stuff because, you know, he's going to become more, he is more than a friend now. He is a husband.
Right. And we're in covenant. Go ahead and share within covenant. And covenant is supposed to be a place of total safety.
Mm-hmm. I did feel safe. I knew you were not going to back out on that covenant.
Right. You know, I shared things I felt safe sharing, and I shared things that I really, you know, I hadn't shared with anyone else. And to, in some ways, that's a level of trust showing, showing trust builds relationship also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we were first betrothed, I remember I would make jokes about if you did something clumsy or whatever, I would go, oh, the betrothal's off.
Yeah.
Ha ha. And it was bothering him a little bit. But
yeah.
Because I thought it was funny because I knew that me and him would never, right. never call it off. But he finally had to tell me, you know, it's bothering me a little bit when you make that joke.
Yeah. And so that was another thing we did during the betrothal is we tried to make a point of asking the other person, is anything bothering you?
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a very, but really to ask it and I'm going to listen, I'm going to hear what you have to say, not, you know, not just to put them on the spot, but to actually say, okay, we'll work on that together.
Right.
If there's something bothering you, I don't want it bothering you. What can we do? Can I change? Can I explain? You know, to help the relationship.
Because our betrothal was pretty short, because we had only about 3 months before our wedding, we probably unconsciously knew we had to move things along. We can't just
right.
sit back and let this relationship yeah. take a long time to develop.
We started reasonably close to zero, not at zero, but we were starting reasonably close to zero, and we're trying to get to ready to move in together.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I did not know what your job was. I didn't know what your job was. I didn't know what your favorite color was. I didn't know what your middle name was. There was a lot of things I didn't know about you.
Yep.
And you didn't know virtually nothing about me. Some of the things he thought about me were not true anyway.
Yeah. Didn't know her middle name. But again, because we're making this decision based on God's will and we're entering this covenant, I'm in this covenant forever.
Yeah.
Commitment.
It didn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's like, oh, okay. You know, her favorite color is blue. So is mine. We didn't know
Interesting
that.
Interesting coincidence. Yeah, some of the things I thought were going to be big deals turned out to not be a big deal, which was interesting. And some things, like I was worried about some of his religious beliefs were going to be way too conservative for me. And then it would turn out, oh, I don't think that somebody had given me the impression he thought that or something.
Yeah.
Some of the things I thought you weren't going to like about me, you were actually perfectly chill with. That was one of my major concerns about getting betrothed during our betrothal was that he was not going to like something about me. Not that I thought he would back out of the covenant because of it, but I just didn't want to disappoint him. Go, oh, great, now I'm signed up for this person forever, and she loves whatever, chocolate.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, and honestly, we all want to be accepted and loved as we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we have in Yeshua. Even when we encounter those little things about the other person that, you know, isn't our favorite, or big things for some people. But even when we encounter those things, for the most part, if we can love the other person unconditionally and show them essentially a picture of the love of Christ,
mm-hmm.
which actually does encounter all those things, all our little quirks, all those little things that are negatives, not that he accepts sin. He wants to purge sin out of us. But all those other things that can be annoying to someone or negative to someone, he accepts us in those things.
Mm-hmm. As much as he may want to help you get over the negative things,
He wants to help you through the sinful things. Mm-hmm. But the things that are not sin, that are still negative to other people,
are not negative to him. Yeah.
Are not negative to him, and he accepts you in those.
Yeah.
And getting to know Yeshua and his love, getting to know the Father and his love, nothing else sets you up better for going towards marriage.
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, doing betrothal, like nothing else, helps you understand better Yeshua. Because that's one of the first things I thought of after I got betrothed, is I looked in the mirror, because I was looking at myself from Joshua's eyes. I was like, okay, you know, is he going to like this now that he's signed up for it? And then I went, no, he loves me. He likes me. And then I went, but Yeshua loves me so much more than even Joshua does. And Joshua liked me the best of all the girls that I could, he's ever met. Already he had decided, I could tell. I went, wow, but Yeshua loves me even more than that.
Right. And from my side, you know, I love Leela so much, but that's still not equal to the love of Christ for me. I mean, there's just so much that can be experienced in this betrothal setting that can point us back to Yeshua.
Mm-hmm. And Joshua is so committed to me, but Yeshua is even more committed.
Yeah.
The betrothal also helps you understand the relationship we're in right now with Yeshua, that he has fully committed, and he's promised he's going to come back and get us, which you did with me. You went back to your home to prepare a place for me to live, just like Yeshua said he was doing. He said, I'm going to come back and get you. And then we'll be wedded, and we'll have our marriage, and you'll come and live with me, and we'll be together forever.
Yeah.
And now in our case, it won't be forever, but really, it really emphasizes the stuff we hear about Yeshua in the Bible when you actually play it out in its earthly picture. Like it says in the Bible that it's the great mystery is of a husband and wife is meant to be a picture of Christ in the church.
Yeah.
And the betrothal is part of that picture. Yeah, we like to tell about betrothal and what it did for us and what we think it can do for you. I mean, if it's too late for you to actually get to do betrothal yourself, you can at least help other single people maybe get to experience it.
And maybe your children someday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can also check us out on social media. We're there under Betrothal Guys. Contact us through the contact form on our website or by messenger on some of the social media. And we're happy to either point you to the resource you're looking for or answer questions. If you have feedback or think something we said is way off base, then, you know, if you can point out why, then we're definitely up to listen to that too.